Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Start with a little advertisement here. Some of you may know that I maintain a website called Grace eBooks where I put up a lot of books and commentaries and things like that for folks who want to study their scriptures. And these are the website contains the books in order for them to use in studying the scriptures. And I make an advertisement on the front page of it that they're free. And I use Isaiah 55 and verse 1 to advertise on the front page of it that they are free. And Isaiah 55 verse 1 reads like this: "He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." I don't know that I'd ever really thought about that verse in a spiritual sense until last week, but in doing some maintenance on the website, I had a moment of questioning the meaning of it, the spiritual meaning of it, of those words. And while reading some other verses which I thought might be related, I ran across this verse in Proverbs chapter 23, which I think could be used as an illustration of on Isaiah 55:1. It's verse 23, Proverbs 23:23. It says, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding." Buy the truth. Well, the scripture that I had on the website said, "Come buy without money." That's not a contradiction, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. Buy the truth, sell it not, also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. That's my text. If I had to give it a title, I'd title it this: The Value of Truth. King Solomon is the author of the book of Proverbs. We all know that. And if you will remember, it was Solomon that prayed to God for wisdom. And scripture says that God granted him his prayer request, the desire of his heart. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Proverbs, as I've said, and the Song of Solomon. He wrote the words of our text, what we just read, to his son. He wrote it to his son. And he spoke to his son about things that were of great value and of utmost importance in all the world. We're told elsewhere in Scripture that King Solomon's riches and his wisdom exceeded that of all the kings of the earth, the wisest man that ever walked, except Christ. And that being the case, let's take a closer look at this advice, this admonition that he gives to his son here in this 23rd verse. Solomon says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." The word he used that's translated "buy" can also be translated "get." Look at it. Buy, get the truth. And the word "sell," if you see it there, can also mean to lose. Both of these terms apply to the text. So it could be read, look at it, "Get the truth and don't lose it." Get the truth and don't lose it. As I said, Solomon had everything his heart desired in this world. Houses, temples, gardens, groves, wives, concubines, whatever he saw or wanted, it was his. He was the envy of the whole world. You'll remember the Queen of Sheba traveled thousands of miles to see and to witness the riches and the wisdom of that man. And when he looked on it, this 23rd verse here, when he looked upon those riches and those the standing he had and all that advantage that he had, he estimated the value of it in another place. And the value of it was nothing. It was worth nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he looked over all of it and he said, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. He had everything and everything amounted to nothing. Our Lord asked this question. He said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what Solomon's talking about right here. Buy the truth and sell it not. Truth's more precious than anything. He spoke of forsaking in this verse all that one has to take up his cross and follow Christ. And all these things apply to the words that are spoken in our text. Buy the truth. You're going to hear that a lot today. And sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The things Solomon named are what every believer in this world holds precious. Truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. That's what that verse says. I want you to notice the word also in that verse. Look at it. Do you see that it's italicized? That means that it was added there for clarity by the translators. That's good in some cases, but I believe the verse reads more clearly here if you leave out also. Look at it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding. That simply means that truth is the embodiment of understanding, wisdom, and instruction. You get the truth, you get all three of those. All three of them. If you read it that way, it's obvious that wisdom and instruction and understanding is wrapped in the truth in Christ. Get Christ. Get the truth, Christ, and you get wisdom. The Holy Scripture says, get wisdom. The Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wisdom. The spirit of wisdom comes in the truth. And when you get this wisdom, you know all things. That doesn't mean you're a genius in worldly things or anything, but you know everything that is important and of utmost value in this world. You get the truth. You get wisdom. Same thing. Comes with truth. Get the truth. Get Christ. And you get instruction. Truth brings it. If you get the truth, you get Christ, you get instruction. What instruction? Instruction in righteousness. That's what the word says. Get the truth and you get understanding. That's the third one. He enlightens the eyes of your understanding. Have you ever read that? That's scripture. That you may know what the hope is of his calling. If you get that understanding, if you get that truth, you get the understanding of what is the hope of his calling. By what? What does it say by? By the truth. The Bible is the truth. It's the truth of Christ. The truth of Christ and its source, it's the source of all truth. A lot of people claim to believe the Bible is true. They even claim to believe it to be infallibly the Word of God. But when you confront them with biblical truth, they don't believe it at all. They don't. Our text says, buy the truth, and sell it not. First John says, those who do not own their sin or their sinful acts and denies his sin, the truth is not in him. No way. No way. The Word of God does not abide in one that has that view of it. Where do we get or buy the truth? The truth's in Christ. The truth is in Christ. We're told that several places in Scripture. And that makes truth, this truth, to be the truth. As it is in Christ. It's called the Word of Truth. The gospel of your salvation. The truth. And one cannot and does not believe until they hear this truth, this Word of Truth. The gospel of their salvation. And it says that in Ephesians 1:13. The gospel is truth because it declares Christ.
Yes.
It declares Christ. Christ is the truth by the truth. When Philip asked, how shall we know the way, Lord? What did he say? Christ said, I am the way. The truth and life. I'm the truth. I want you to see this. You read this truth, and it gives form. It gives embodiment. It forms a view of Christ. The truth of the truth. The truth of a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And all that truth is embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is truth. This truth, this Bible, gives human form, if you will, permit, to him. We're told to abide in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of who he is, where he came from, how he died, why he died, for whom he died, substitution, imputation, and satisfaction for sin. If it is the truth that sets one free, then until you know that truth, you can't be free. In Scripture, the truth is said to make a man wise. Wisdom. It's said to make a man wise unto salvation. Solomon is saying, this is all in this world that's worth buying or getting. But truth to the natural man, just a matter of perspective. It's nothing objective. It's nothing solid. To him, it's a thing to be accepted only if it can be proven by some scientific fact. Trial and error or some convincing evidence, truth is a thing that's debated with them and questioned. And some men are convinced of free will works religion because of the way they feel about it. Mm-hmm. Feeling's got nothing to do with it. They are absolutely convinced of the truth of it. It is the truth because it feels right. And when you confront them with the truth, their response is, well, that's just your truth. That's just your opinion. But God's truth is objective, as I said. It's not up for discussion or argument. And it's not evidenced by some sniveling emotional feeling that we have about something. It's not. It's not subjective. And with the people of God, sinners, saved by grace, truth is absolute, isn't it? It's absolute. They never offer an opinion. They won't talk back to God. They've had their mouths shut. God's elect know the truth by believing this word. And they are sure of it because they get that faith by a divine gift. They can't help but believe it. They can't help it. Faith is the gift of God, and therefore boasting is excluded. If a person knows the truth, he does. How does he know it? He knows it by revelation of Christ. Amen. By the revelation of Christ. Humanity, natural man, I guess you would say, has trouble with absolutes. Just look around you today. They detest that there's only one way. They won't have it. They won't have it. They build themselves up as kind and generous persons because they accept all the religions in the world and denominations, and they despise the fact that there is the truth. They're full of hatred because their opinions are not considered in the matter of truth. The truth is one thing. Can I get this? The truth is one thing, and one thing only. Our Father, in the revelation of Christ, wipes out all the confusion. He says there's just one way. Just one way. The unbeliever says, well, that's too restrictive. No, that's good. That's good. Because I don't have to look at all the other religions and figure out whether they're right or not. I just look at one thing, and that is the truth, Christ. He's the substance of all truth, and I got him. If we get God's eternal truth, it's impossible to be confused. That's just so. You think about that. It's great that you can't be confused about salvation. Eternal life. What a thing. People wander and stumble over stumbling blocks, and then they come up with this new thing or that new thing. Constant confusion over and over. But not with those who buy the truth, who get the truth, who get Christ. Clayton, you believe the gospel. the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you confused? By all these other ways of religion around us? No, I think you're convinced like me. Convinced. He that hath the Son has life. How confusing can that be? He that hath the Son hath life. That's not confusing. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Simple. Absolute. That's not confusing. You have Christ, you have life. You don't have Christ, then you don't have life. There's just one thing to consider. Just one thing. It's not complicated. One thing. Truth that brings wisdom, instruction, and understanding. There's one thing, one person, Christ, and the things concerning him. And this is where you find them. Only book in the world that claims to be written by God. Buy the truth. Get it and don't lose it. Mm-hmm. Solomon's not saying the truth can be bought or sold with money like you could go out and earn wages to purchase it. Our Lord says, everyone that's thirsty, come. There's no restriction on it. In that sense, it doesn't cost you a dime. Just come. If you're hungry, come. If you're thirsty, come. If you're thirsty, come and buy without money. Get it. Get the truth. Solomon's talking about how valuable the truth is in this verse, and an estimate of what it's worth, the value of truth. And he's saying that any and all means are to be employed to get it. Joshua chapter 9, there was a whole bunch of guys of Gibeon that put on clothing, ragged hats, ragged shoes, and went to Joshua. Said, we're your servants. And they were Gentiles, whom Joshua had been commanded to wipe out. But Joshua showed mercy on them when they dressed up like that. They abandoned everything they had, everything they were, all the reputation, and went to Joshua. Whatever it takes. If you have to put on a costume of rags, get it. In Proverbs in verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 5, Solomon says, get wisdom, get understanding, and don't forget it. That ties to the verse in Proverbs 23 that we're looking at. Now, in preparing this lesson, I read that, and I thought about all the words of wisdom, all of this world's religion. Gene, I'm not convinced that I'd be here today without it. Let's think about it just a second. I'm thankful for this world's wisdom. I am. The only reason it's here to benefit us. That's just truth for God's people. It has literally been miraculous for me. But you know what? The wisdom of this world that was required for all the doctors to repair my heart and my eyes and colon cancer, as great as that was, that wisdom is not going to last. It's going to pass away. You know why? When God winds this thing up, this world up, no one's going to need a heart surgery. That's the simplest illustration I could think of. Nobody's going to need fleshly eyes. and nobody's going to need a colon. All that wisdom is going to pass away. But in eternity, we're going to both hear and see the truth because it lasts forever and will never pass away. The truth. Whatever a man highly values, he'll chase like a rabbit hound, especially when he believes it to be a matter of life and death. You go to a doctor, you're chasing that. That's fine. But know what it's worth in the eternal sense. Whatever a man highly values, he'll chase, especially on his, Paul on his way to Jerusalem said, I don't care. I'm paraphrasing. I don't care if I go to Jerusalem and get killed. That doesn't matter to me. His concern was the truth of the gospel of God's grace. That's what's important, and that's what Paul had on his mind. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For the love of the truth, Christ, a person will read about him, pray, and desire to know more about him, and he'll obsess over it and part with all that he has to own the truth, to get the truth. If you were required to choose today, your life or the truth, when it came right down to it, you would say truth. That's what we're all professing here anyway. Why? Because your life's eternal. This world doesn't matter. This age. Today, folks are not interested in the things that get them there, though. In justification and sanctification and redemption. What are they interested in? They're interested in church planning and planting buildings and activities and specialties for everybody, for singles, couples, children, marriage, divorce, sports, and missionaries. That's all they're concerned with. But where's the truth? It's never mentioned. Because they have no interest in the things concerning Christ. But Solomon says, buy the truth, buy Christ, get Christ, and don't lose it. Whatever it costs. What will it cost? Well, it cost Zacchaeus his reputation. Just ponder this. He was a rich man, and everyone in town was scared of him. But there came a day when he made a fool of himself and climbed a tree to see Jesus of Nazareth, a nobody in most of the people's esteem back then anyway. He was looking for Christ, the truth. And it was the only way he could see. Our text is teaching us that if a person values truth, he'll part with everything he has to get it. And when what he parts with isn't worth, as Scott used to say, a warm bottle of spit. It'll cost you your righteousness. That's the hard one, and it'll cost you your merit, your reformations, your old profession of faith, your standing in society, and everything you have done in your life. And you know what? You'll gladly be counted a fool and a madman for Christ's sake. But having Christ, you won't mind it, though. You don't mind it. Isn't that strange? No. You've gotten the truth. You've got Christ.
Yes, sir.
And if necessary, you'll die for it. It's just the way it is. That's not a demand. That's just the way it is. Whatever's going to keep you from it, that's what it'll cost you. the truth. Christ alone is the water that satisfies, the fountain that satisfies the thirst for righteousness, and Christ alone is the bread that satisfies that hunger. Yes. The cost of buying the truth is everything you are and every temporal thing you have taken comfort in. Now, you might have money. You might have it, but you take no comfort in it, and you take no solace in it, and you take no confidence in it. Your confidence is in Christ.
Amen.
Recognition, you'll abandon it. Your status, you will abandon. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And I'm crucified to the world. That's what Paul said. That's the meaning of buy the truth and sell it not. The value of this truth can't be measured. It's never to be sold, never to be lost, not for money, not for honor among men, not for pleasure, not even for the sake of peace in the family. Buy the truth and sell it not. Get the truth and never lose it. Buy the truth. The way I started, I want to end. You get the truth, you get wisdom. We're made wise unto salvation through faith. Get the truth, you get this wisdom. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding is contained in that truth, and it embodies Christ. With the truth comes instruction, instruction in righteousness, that we may be made perfect. Perfect. Go tell your relatives something like that. I'm perfect. With the truth comes understanding. With the truth comes understanding. The Son of God is come and hath given us, what? An understanding. That we may know him that is true. Mm-hmm. The truth will never lose its value. The wisdom of this world is going to pass away very soon. But the truth of Christ is eternal.
Amen.
Eternal. And it ain't never going to pass away. Never. Oh, my. That may make me a fool. In the eyes of this world, so be it. So be it.